Okay. This is the 19th lecture, 5th London ACC, 20th November, 88. Now we have the attitude and approach of the auditor, or various levels of auditing, the practitioner and his skills. There are various levels of certificate or grade. And Scientology, as issued by the Hubbard's Communications Office for and on behalf of the Hubbard Association of Scientologists International. These grades are of considerable interest to you as they exist today because they actually denote various levels of skill and understanding and abilities. And these abilities, as we go forward, will be very carefully demarked amongst these grades. Very carefully demarked. It's almost as if the grade is the skill. Now, in view of the fact that it's going to take 3 years, absolute minimum, flat out, of study in class and extension course today to make a Doctor of Scientology, 2 years to make a Bachelor of Scientology, and a minimum of 1 year to make a Hubbard Professional Auditor or a Hubbard Certified Auditor, a certificate cannot be issued in less than 1 year. It just cannot be after the actual enrollment in the academy. We have now, then, a thoroughly worked out regimen, procedures, which compare to these various grades of skill. The fact of clearing carries with it certain mechanical necessities, and the achievement of these is possible at long or short lengths of time in accordance with the actual skill of the practitioner. The actual skill of the practitioner measures the length of time to clear, but I see no reason, no real reason, why an HPA, HCA level could not achieve clearing. In how many hundreds of hours, I do not know. Perhaps 500, something on that order, or a bit more, perhaps, in more difficult cases. BSCN, we shorten it down. DSCN, we shorten it down. Now, perhaps this factor, which is not accurately established in terms of hours, since it's an impossible factor, it's one of these guesses that one makes, on the HPA or HCA level would be much longer. But we already know that it exists, that it can exist, and that clearing can occur on the type of auditing which is taught at the lowest level. The business of the HPA or HCA happens to be, making people better, making them well, straightening up their immediate lives, and so forth. It is actually not a clearing level, but clearing could be achieved at that level. The BSCN level is a clearing level, and that is compared to the Hubbard Clearing Scientologist Certificate. And this clearing level, perhaps, would have some difficulties of one kind or another encountered, which would be difficult to resolve on, in that is, some few cases, on any lower level than DSCN. In other words, that we would say would be a general expectancy to clear somebody. Not too bad. It's all right. Unless we run into some horrendous bugs of one kind or another. And if this is the case, we certainly would look for these bugs to be resolved on some higher level. Well, this we will consider the DSCN or Hubbard Graduate Scientologist level. This is not just theoretical. This is working itself out in actual practice, the length of time it takes people to actually be trained, the length of time it takes to attain a certificate or grade because of study, reports, administrative actions, and so forth. We have been fooling ourselves when we said that anybody could get a certificate in under a year on an HPA, HCA level, that we might as well make the thing factual and assist people wherever we can to achieve that. Thus, we enter, actually, an academic expectancy. Already, we have probably, on the average, the most thoroughly trained in terms of hours of actual practice practitioners in any subject in the world today. It's rather fabulous, the number of study hours which mount up on a Scientologist. And they are study hours that are very well invested, but they actually are greater in quantity than the study hours of a psychologist or a psychiatrist. These people are studying something else. They say, well, I've studied for a very long time. They don't say what. They haven't studied the mind for a very long time at all. They've studied various things like medical anatomy, and they've studied Latin, and they've studied, I don't know, English literature and other things. Have nothing to do with it at all. Of course, I imagine a course in English literature would help you a great deal if you were going to process the curator of antique languages at the British Museum. I imagine he would object to colloquialism such as people commonly understand with. time has been invested falsely in the last century and in the levels of study. They say, well, this man is a so-and-so, he spent so many years in school. I think that's a very interesting statement, because he didn't spend that many years in school studying his subject. He might have spent that many years in school. I know a fellow that spent a number of years in Dartmoor, but he still didn't qualify him to be the warden. The factual aspect of this occurs in the field of technology. And technology today is getting to be a pretty precise affair. We have rounded the clock, you might say. It's gone all the way around from straight up to straight up, from straight up the spout to straight up to success, you know. We have gone from the earliest stages of engram running right around back through to the latest stages of engram running. It's quite remarkable. We have achieved one of these remarkable circular tracks, which bring us back to being able to do expertly what we started to do, hopefully. And that's in itself a major success of which Scientologists really ought to be quite proud. Particularly the old-timers who have stayed there for years and years and years saying, my God, what will Ron think of next, you know? We can't possibly be going anyplace. We just can't possibly be going anyplace. Here we change our minds all the time. Now, at a long period of time, this thing finally swings around again, and we see where it all fits in place. We're back to engram running again. Only this time we can really run an engram run at flat, and we can make clears by running engrams of all things. Therefore, as we look over these various grades, we have to have some understanding of the levels of skill which would be expected along these grades. The first thing we have is a certificate I haven't mentioned, which is Hubbard Apprentice Scientologist. Now, this is actually a certificate which is simply given to somebody for knowing a few training drills. He's read a book and he knows a few training drills. Now, this is actually the book auditor. This is actually the book auditor. We make this very, very easy for him to receive. We give him some training drills and we shape him up so forth so he doesn't have to fly around wondering which knee to hold his book on while he reads the commands, you know? We solve that for him. As a matter of fact, I don't like to joke too much about the book auditor because we've all been book auditors and one time or another. And we've had successes as book auditors, and you might say he's the backbone of it all. But the book auditor, nevertheless, can be dignified with a certificate today, and a DSCN with his certificate in his hot hand, or his cool, assured hand, we hope, will have the authority to teach an HAS course to any and all comers. And the certificate of HAS would be awarded solely and totally upon his say-so. And he'd get a chance to sign on the dotted line, too, you know. Perfectly valid certificate be issued by the Hazi on the request of a DSCN or HGS in good order with the organization. Now, this means a considerable spread for this particular subject. The Hazi doesn't want anything for these certificates, doesn't want any cash, even foots the bill for paper and ink and post. Doesn't mean anything but well with the certificate, and I'm sure the certificate would be issued with just good meaning. Now, if you want to go ahead and make practically an HPA or an HCA out of somebody and give him an HAS certificate, that's your lookout. And if you want to just give him a few licks and promises and say this is TR and confronting, aha, he's past confronting. He can actually sit in the chair without falling on his silly head. Why, that's, again, your lookout. Actually, the quality of practice in the subject itself is your responsibility as well as mine. But we don't expect too much of this grade. We respect the fact that he has been issued a right to practice and to tell the public that he is an apprentice. And that is, we don't want any fancy name attached to that. You wouldn't want it, nor would I. But nevertheless, we wish to dignify this person by saying he has his foot on the ladder. This HAS certificate wipes out all basic study certificates, basic course certificates, and so on. This is a certificate structure which has evolved over a period of time, just as the techniques have evolved over a period of time. Now let's look at this technique level and see what skills these things denote. At HAS, we would expect somebody to be able to tell somebody to look at a picture so the HAS could find out whether or not it was there. Level of skill. Even that requires skill. As far as his practice is concerned, we would expect him to know some assists. There's no sense in going into assists, but to any great extent, but just to classify and qualify what I mean by assists, we would have something like a touch assist. He touches various parts of the injured person's body, usually immediate injury, and says, look at my fingers. You know, he touches a part of some part of the person's body, says, look at my fingers, touches another part, says, look at my fingers, touches another part, and says, look at my fingers. Just a communication-type process, that's all. These assists are quite valuable, and a person who knows them is a valuable person to have around. He saves lives left and right. It's quite remarkable. But on the first truly professional grade, we have an entirely different look. Here we have our first discipline. This is the disciplined auditor. But how well do we expect this auditor to be disciplined? Now, the easiest thing to train a person to do is what we call tone 40 auditing. You wouldn't think so, but that is really the easiest thing to train a person to do. So we train this HPA in formal and tone 40 auditing. And we reserve the formal auditing in its expert touches for the level of BSCN. We don't try to make him an expert formal auditor. But the easiest one is the tone 40 auditing. Now, we expect him to be a tone 40 auditor. Expect him to be able to stay right in there and pitch, you see. We don't expect him to handle anything like Origins of the Preclear expertly or anything like that at tone 40. And we expect him to know this type of auditing on HPA. We wouldn't let him out of the shop unless he could do this type of auditing. And unless he was at least partially advanced into some satisfactory wound-up doll sort of performance. Now, when I say wound-up doll, you know and I know what we're talking about. It isn't insulting particularly. The fellow sits there and he gives the command and acknowledges it, and he gives a command and acknowledges it, and he gives a command and acknowledges it, and Freeclear blows up, building blows away, and all that sort of thing. He gives the command and acknowledges it, you know. It doesn't matter what's happening. He just goes on giving the command and acknowledging it, and every once in a while, he handles an origin without muffing it. and every once in a while handles an ARC brake. By accident or something. I'm being sarcastic because it's not a level of skill from our viewpoint, which should get many plaudits. But it is very much higher than any mental practitioner has been able to achieve in the past century. You understand that? I mean, it gets more done. It's adherence to the auditor's code and so forth. Why not interested in getting the qualifications at this grade to you here, since they are all written down for the HCO board's review and so on? I am interested in telling you the levels of process which demonstrably get results at these various grades. Now, we expect an HPA or HCA to handle a case expertly and knowingly with these exact processes, whatever other processes he uses or finds in the old, the Bible, you might say, is, call it around England, the creation of human ability. That's got practically every process in it anybody ever heard of. He could use these. No debarring his use of any process, you understand. We'd expect him, however, to conduct an intensive with the processes which I am listing right here, right now. So pick up your ears. SCS, start, change, stop, as a process. And we'd expect him to begin, not necessarily each session, but every few sessions with SCS. That is not stop, CS. That is old start, change, stop. That's just start, CS. It's the old-time one. We expect him to run it as it should be run. He'd get the individual up there, and he'd say, well, when I tell you to start, I want you to get your body moving in that direction. And when I say start, why, do so. Start. You don't care too much what kind of commands you use as long as it's good HC. And the fellow starts the body, you know. And he marks out four places on the floor and he gets the person to change the bodies amongst these spots. You got it? Now, whatever pattern of command is engaged upon at this point and whatever is intended at this point must be in the line of a repetitive command that doesn't upset the PC, and the command is cleared every single command cycle. Now, that's what's important about this. It's not what the magic incantation of the words are. It's that this command is done in that fashion. It's cleared each time. You tell the person what you want him to do when you tell him to start. You tell the person what you want him to do when you tell him to stop. Now, we will also include under this a subheaded process, which is start CS on an object. And it's an old process, and you have him sit down at a table and move an object, and you tell him, when I say start, I want you to start that object in that direction. And you say start. He starts, you say, did you start that object? And he says, yes. Now, change is run, as I said, with the various spots. And now, much more importantly, how do you run this process? Really, how do you run it? You run start until it is somewhat flat. He's doing it evenly and easily. You run change until you get a change. You unsettle that nice, new, smooth start. So you come back and you run start again until you've got it flat once more. Then you run change, and then you run start, and you'll find start again is unflat. That is to say, it's uneven and ragged now. And until you get some sort of a decent response, when you move from change, a few orders of change, back to start, while you keep on running start. The cycle is start, and then you run change long enough to unsettle start. And then you run start, start, you know, giving the command and clearing it each time, of course. You get the idea. Now, when you think you can more or less afford to be through with this, you start in on stop. And you say, now, I want you to get the body moving for the body one, or the object moving for the object one. I want you to get the body moving in that direction. When I say stop, I want you to stop the body. Do you understand that? And he says, yes. You say, all right, get the body moving in that direction. Stop. And he stops, and you say, did you stop the body? All right. He says, yes, I did. All right. When you've got that stop somewhat flat, you come back and run this change again. And this unsettles the state he's fallen into, and then you run this stop again. Now, you'll find this is in the various processing drills and so forth, but the exact procedure of how it is run is very often escaped. So I give the exact way of running this at this time and give it this level of importance, don't you see? It's something I have to comment on with regard to this process, because that is quite often missed. And the process is really not very effective unless it's run just as I said. That is to say, you unsettle these dead spots by running change. So it's really, the sequence is a few of start, a few of change, a few of start, a few of change, a few of start, a few of change. And when you feel start is more or less flat, then a few of stop, a few of change, a few of stop, a few of change, a few of stop, a few of change. Then we got stop, so it's more or less flat. Now we go back, a few of start, a few of change, a few of start, a few of change. And that way, this is one of the most marvelous processes you ever had anything to do with. This is really very smooth. It does some fabulous things. It doesn't lay in many ARC breaks. It does, however, sometimes a little bit reduce havingness. If you're 8C on the subject, your ease of handling it is rough. And then you'll find the individual getting nervous and so on. Now, it quite often blows the preclear out of his silly head. Kaboom! Great reality process. Well, anyway, no more comment on that. What do you do when you blow him out of his silly head? You just do the command again, that's all. It's very, very simple. Very simple. Then you've got an exteriorization engram, which you will find later on in running. So what? Okay, so what? Now, the actual purpose of this process could be therapeutic. It is very good. There is nothing to be criticized about it at all. But its purpose is control. And you have to get a PC under some form of control before you can get him running really well at this level. Otherwise, once more, he is giving you ARC break, ARC break, and he's upsetting one way or the other. Control is not necessarily looked upon as some auditors look upon it. They say control is that process which makes the preclear unable to protest an ARC break. That is not control. I mean, I know this is a popular fallacy, but it's not control. The truth of the matter is, you have to give him confidence in placing himself in your hands. And the best way to give him confidence is to run a control process which he knows and sees he can get away with. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't be unusual to run these first two processes, the one after this, and SCS together, oh, I don't know, 50, 75 hours. Just do nothing but these two things. Just nothing but these two. The second process is factual heaviness. And to do nothing but these two things, one after the other, for 75 hours, I don't know how you could fail to change a case. I really don't know. It would be a mysterious thing. It'd just have to be done all upside down and backwards, that's for sure. Now, we're not talking about any particular state of case. We're talking about low-level cases and high cases and the famous grouper case and all the rest of them. We're talking about all the cases there are. But to carry it on longer than that, on most cases, would be to be carrying on a level that is not as productive as some other things you could do. However, on some cases, to go up this high, way on up the line into, oh, I don't know, 400 or 500 hours of SCS and factual heavings, on some cases, if you could make them do it at all, let's say a case was pretty neurotic or pretty psychotic, you probably produce some of the most fantastic results on this case with positiveness that you ever achieved. Really would look like magic. Now, we'd expect these two levels to be run on people who could walk or could at least sit down or who could talk and who made some sense of one kind or another, who are not unconscious and so on. That's what this particular clearing procedure is for. And as I say, the HPA-HCA level clearing would go with this SCS, we call it as a process. And then we go into factual havingness. Now, factual havingness is an outgrowth of many other havingness and connectedness processes. But you mustn't get the idea that because havingness is classified as a connectedness process, that it does the same thing. It does not. It does not. The things are not the same process. However, of the processes involved, actual tests, since I changed the and refined the wording of factual havingness, since I changed the wording, the actual effectiveness of connectedness versus factual havingness is heavily in favor of factual havingness. Heavily in favor of it. Hence, you've heard, particularly in this unit, you've heard a great deal of stress laid on factual havingness. Now, the commands of factual havingness are, look around here and find something you have. Now, when that is relatively flat, and we say relatively flat, good heavens, that might be relatively flat 75 hours, you know, just of that, relatively flat. It's relative to the case, not relative to the auditor's mood, you know. We would run the second command, and we would just run it all by itself. There are various combinations of running of these things, and that's look around here and find something you would continue. Very simple commands. Now, that could be in clearing that the pre-clear didn't understand that or something or other. You might have to say permit to continue or something of the sort. But the whole gist of it, and this, by the way, is one of the heavy points in favor of these particular confrontingness and havingness processes which we're using today. The wording is translatable without any re-evaluation of the command into any language and in practically anybody's silly head. I mean, they sit there and they say, aha. When they say confront, they might misinterpret it and say it's look at. He wants look at. And sort of downgrade it into notice, old notice or something of the sort of TR-10. But he won't miss the whole thing. In other words, this is a translatable series of processes which we have today, very basic and very translatable. Of course, those things which would be most effective would actually exceed semantics. The words are not the magic. And these, you take the word look over there. You say look over there. Well, you can say look over there in any language under the sun that is a language without getting many semantic identifications in your road and with very few complexities, because you can even do it by sign language. Do it by sign language, quite interestingly. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, factual havingness can also be run on not look, but feel. You could substitute that word feel for the blind or for other people that can't quite make it. And that continue there means to go on and on. There's practically no word for this in Russian. Isn't that interesting? But it's interesting that some languages, when they have misdefinition for continue, are languages which have evolved in a very difficult climate and where survival is almost impossible. They don't have any words for survival. You have to knock together a half a dozen of the language words. For instance, Chinese is a language of this character. Russian, definitely. There's no word which simply says survival, just as you and I would think of survival. So the translation of this would have to be something on the order of that you would let go on and on and on and on, you know, or something like that. You'd have to draw a word picture of continue. And this in itself would be quite upsetting to the pre-clear at first. Just understanding the command would be therapeutic. The idea that something could go on longer than a split instant would come to him as a vast and wonderful surprise. He'd think this over. He'd get a cognition on it, you know. It sounds impossible, but this is true. All right. Now, the continue idea. Individual is running directly at time. And I notice everybody who runs factual havingness thinks it has to do with just have because of its title. But that continue is if anything, even more important than havingness. It's a very important part of this particular combination. Besides, continue is a greater reality to lower-level cases than have. So this particular command will run on lower-level cases than havingness will bite on. All right, let's go to that lower one, the third one now. Look around here and find something you would permit to vanish. We don't care how it's said. We mean just permit to vanish. Something you would let vanish. Something which could go AWOL. Something which could disappear. We don't care what the command is, as long as it's vanish. We want to get the idea. Look around here and find something which could just go gone. It'd be all right with you if it went gone. Now, in looking over these three commands, we have three case levels. And the lowest of these levels is vanish. And people will run on this vanish that can't even touch continue. And you could probably run somebody in Russia or somebody in some vigorous, violent, hostile environment. The Congo, the Mongolia, Montana, Brighton. Some hostile, violent atmosphere. And he would just sit down and he would have a ball. He'd just think this is the most wonderful process he ever heard of. 250 commands was reported to me once before a person could have one continue. Had to be run 250 commands on vanish or disappear before one continue would show up. It was absolutely fabulous. Person look around, well, what would I prevent to vanish? Oh, that wall, whee, you know, the floor, whee, you know. The table, oh, boy, oh, yo, that'd be good. You, yeah, I'd permit you to vanish. Now, it's not that a case that runs well on this is an institutional case, because a case in good shape would run well on any of these three. He'd run well on any of the three. But an institutional case, if you got to him at all, would only run on vanish. You never could get him into the others. You understand that just because he runs on vanish doesn't mean he's crazy. Anybody can run on vanish. But the only one a psycho can run on is vanish. So get this particular level of know-how here down pretty square. You want to really add to the havingness of a psycho, like mad, run vanish. Go totally in reverse, you know. If they can have something, it has to disappear, you know. And everything is a threat to them, so that everything menaces what they have. So therefore, if they get rid of everything, then they can have something. You know, this type of rationale is showing up. I hear auditors going on running factual havingness commands and forgetting the third. And it was much better when we call these things trio. We probably bring back the word new trio to this sort of thing one of these days. But old trio was simply a past tense conditional sort of a command. We find out that it was not as good. We had to be much more direct, and we made the command much more direct. When I made this command much more direct, it started working much more directly. Havingness has always been good. Now it's twice, three times as good. Now, the upper level, an upper level case to this vanish case would be this continue thing. And continue is a terribly important item to many cases, and practically is the make-break point of the case. He gets the idea of something actually continuing. And there's various coaxing ways to run this. Two-way calm on it, but you're getting up to DSCN level auditing, see? When you start coaxing and wheedling and changing commands a little bit, little hair, to get him to get the idea just a little bit better, get the good certainty on it as he comes up the line. It would be something on this order, however. You'd say, continue. And he'd say, continue with something I'd permit to continue. Yep. And you say, well, how long did you permit that and let that to continue, you know? Oh, he'd say, long time. You say, what's a long time? Oh, it's about a millionth of a second. Yeah, he'd permit it to continue. See? He's running so close to vanish that it's almost indistinguishable. You didn't get away with it, but you'd stretch this moment just by running the process itself. Now, upscale from that, we have havingness. And don't be dismayed or don't be startled if you have somebody as a PC that is getting no good and is running no somatics and is getting no change while running havingness.
You just realize you've just misestimated a case like mad. He ought to be one on the lower commands. And these commands are carried in an instruction book, and you will always find them carried in this interesting lineup. First is have, second is continue, and third is vanish, so that they will compare with a tone scale. And all they are printed without a tone scale, they actually represent a tone scale. A person can't get anything like have. Well, don't bother with continue. Just go right straight to vanish, and let's beat that thing to death. You find his havingness will go up all the way. He'll have a wonderful time. That's something to know about this. It really is, because every once in a while somebody comes around to me and says, well, it's terrible. You cut his havingness down, and he can't run havingness. Well, this is true once upon a time, maybe, that we had types of havingness that couldn't be run on a person. But a modern, like factual havingness, you see, it's factual. You're asking him for the fact of it. That's why it's called that, and why its title was designed to be that. And they say he can't run factual havingness. They mean he can't run the first command of the three. Well, that doesn't mean he can't run the other two commands, and that doesn't mean that he can't remedy his havingness. And somebody's trying to remedy somebody's havingness that has no certainty on whether they can have something or not. That's silly. You can always go to vanish, and you remedy the fellow's havingness with vanish. It's quite remarkable. What's this fellow's idea of having something? Having it disappear, of course. Now, that's national-type havingness. If you can just ruin the nation next door, you know, why you've got something. I don't know what we've got, but you've got something, you know. War is a great institution. There's no doubt about it. It's the only thing for which you get medals. I'm going, though, to institute a theory and practice that nations, when they give medals, must give medals from the opposite side. Opposite side medals. So that the Secretary of State or somebody of this sort, somebody high in the government that gets you involved in a war, why, you must have it fixed so that you have an adequate supply of the other country's medals so he can wear them in public all the time. I think it's a good idea. Working on a congressional bill at the time, got members down here in Parliament interested in this bill. There's a point, you know, where stupidity ends and treason begins. Now, havingness, vanishment, and so forth. You've got the anatomy of possession when you have those three commands. And we would expect somebody on a very low scale to have some kind of a grip or understanding, be able to run these things and be able to make them effective. Now, simple confront we would expect to find on an HPA-HCA level. And that's simple confront. And that's what can you confront? Not asking for the room, not asking for the bank, not asking for anything, just what can you confront? Not close your eyes and what can you confront? That's just what can you confront, you see, without further direction. Now, we'd expect him to be able to run that without any complications of any kind. And we'd expect this person to be able to do, you make a mock-up for which you can be totally responsible. You make a picture which you can be totally responsible is the next one. And then we expect him to be able to run help in his general brackets and step six in his general brackets. Now, that would be an HPA-HCA look to clear. Now, whether he'd make any or not is, who knows. You know, that's who knows. Now, why? Why do we say who knows? Because the person at HPA-HCA is still self-conscious in his discipline and is easily confused by sudden randomness on the part of a PC, session blows and insults and this sort of thing. And this person's shaky. He's still shaky. Therefore, he has no business under the sun running any command which makes him address intimately and immediately the case of the preclear. Now, that is a rather fabulous thing to say. Let him process all cases every time he processes one preclear, and he can make it. That's the question of what can they make and how can they make it. Now, this is nothing smart about this. I'm not being sarcastic at all. I'm just measuring up to the facts of this. There are facts involved in this. And sometimes it takes a person a year to get where he can do a wound-up doll. That's a hell of a thing to call it, I know, but it's a real triumph for this person to be able to sit there and duplicate an auditing command without making flubs, and then to go along the line and to hand out a process and to carry on for the requisite number of hours and to get an idea of how flat it is and how flat it isn't. That is absolutely terrific.
That's a gain. To you, he'd look like a wound-up doll. He wouldn't look like that to the public at all. He'd look like, boy, that guy's really got some discipline. That's because he's still interested in self-discipline. He's still interested in discipline of self. He hasn't exteriorized for it. He's still got an eye on himself all the time. This isn't natural to him yet. Got the idea? He's still concentrating on getting himself in there and pitch. Well, all right. I have actually no right to call him a wind-up doll, but that's what he looks like to me, and I wouldn't really dignify the process any further than that. But it takes a long time to get up to a point where you can do that well. Sounds startling, but it's true. Now, there's a lower level than this, which doesn't let him look at the case at all, and therefore is quite effective on psychos, because the auditor never has to take up the case of the psycho or pay any attention to the psycho or what the psycho was saying or anything else. The auditor is just controlling all psychos. And that's what we call the CCHs, CCH 1, 2, 3, 4, that are run by formal auditing. So let's take a look at these two skills, and we would find that NHPA, HCA should be able to do beautifully, very, very beautifully. CCH 1, 2, 3, 4, do it without a hair, without a flaw. Now, there's no reason to go into that, particularly what these are. They are the basic processes. First one is give me that hand. The next one up the line is 8C. Look at that wall, walk over that wall, you know. Next one up the line from that is actually hand mimicry, regardless how it's written in the text. Number 3 is hand space mimicry, is really its exact command. Number 4 is book mimicry. And that 1, 2, 3, 4 is run in an orderly fashion. You run 1, and if it isn't producing any change, you run number 2. If it isn't producing any change, you run number 3. If it's producing change, you flatten it off somewhat and go back to 1. Get the idea? And now, if 1 produces no change and you run 2, 2 produces change all of a sudden. 2 produces change, you go back to 1. Anytime you produce a change with a process, you flatten it somewhat and go back and start all over again. Now, this is quite remarkable. Quite remarkable, because if the preclear is blowing up, being upset, something like that, he will still get tremendous benefit from processing. And the auditor doesn't have to pay a bit of attention to the case, bank, or anything else. He just ignores the bank utterly. So that is your tone 40. Tone 40. Person should be able to do a good tone 40. Now, doing a good tone 40 requires total discipline, but it doesn't require that one confront the other bank at all. So therefore, it can be done on a very low level of training. Now, when we get up to HPA, HCA, it looks so much like it ought to be good auditing. It's formal auditing, you see, and it doesn't look like it ought to be quite as precise as tone 40 auditing. We have a tendency to say it's neither fish nor fowl. The guy is almost confronting the bank. He does handle an origin. You know, get the idea? We get this intermediate level of skill. Now, a person that can do a good tone 40, up against a psycho particularly, is quite an auditor. That requires real fantastic discipline. But formal auditing permits one to slop off from the hard discipline of tone 40 without yet assuming the actual address to the case. It's halfway in between. Yet, it is a style and type of auditing that people can get away with. So an HPHCA would know that tone 40, and he knows CCH 1, 2, 3, 4. He would have to, because these are the only processes that run on unconscious people, on the half-dead people, on people that are extremely ill, people that cannot talk, people that cannot see, and are invalid, and so forth. There are ways and means of doing each one of these things with people who are way down under. They're in bad shape, not in Australia. Now, here's these people at a very, very low level of look. You can still do something on the order of give me that hand, give me those hands. That still can be done. And you can process a dog that way, by the way. Processes quite well, with considerable gain. It's very interesting. You ought to tackle a dog sometime or something like that. Just process him. If you're going to run 8C on him, though, get a light dog, because you'll have to lug him.
They just go all to pieces when you run 8C on them. Look at that wall. So don't pick up any Great Danes with it. Now, this semi-confront, not semi-confront, an auditor can handle when he is not totally disciplined. He's in tremendous shape. He does go through this stage. He stays in this stage for quite a long time before he finally gets his self-discipline and watching himself and so forth down to a point where he can start to expand. It takes a lot of auditing. It takes a lot of practice. It's not to be underestimated at all as skill, because look what can be run with it. SCS, factual havingness, simple confrontingness, a creative process. You make a mock-up for which you can be totally responsible. Help, step six. All of these processes can be run on it without much address, too much address to the other case, to the case involved, the other case involved in the session, without too much attention. You get away with it, you see. That's a get-away-with-it sort of thing. Make it clear with it, possibly. Now, we'd expect, then, the tone 40 thing to go way down. That'd be something an HPA would certainly know. Wow, see, just chomp. He'd have to get that one. He'd have to get that one. And then he'd know this formal auditing, and we'd forgive him a lot of sins, but we wouldn't forgive him any flubs. And he could regard his formal auditing as a sort of a tone 40 thing and still get away with it. You know, you'd handle all the origins badly. Now, we could carry that type of auditing more and more relaxed on a gradient scale, more and more attention to the case. Actually, the more relaxed it looks, the more precise it's got to be, which is quite remarkable. You really got to know your stuff to start really addressing a case. It's strange, you know. We'd expect that to last for the first 2 years of training. We wouldn't expect anybody to go above that. That's both HPA and BSCM. We wouldn't expect anybody to exceed that. Why should we? Why try to give everybody a lose? Why try to keep people losing, you know? Because if you give them something that they can't do, you say, well, audit that case. Go on, audit that case, you know, audit that case. Oh, God, the guy is saying, audit that case. It's about all I can do to keep my TR2 in there, you know? And he wants me to audit the case, too? Oh, this sounds too much. I don't mean to be sarcastic now. I mean, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. That's the way you expect these boys to do. Now, when they first start out, they actually start with something that looks like the last stage of training. The last stage of training looks very casual. But, man, there's discipline that goes into that. There's discipline that goes into that which exceeds anything required to make something simple like a Wehrmacht. There's discipline, real self-discipline and pre-clear discipline, knowledge of the subject. All of this stuff is easy. It's taken easily. Oh, and you say, well, how come so much happens doing this? You know, you watch some very expert auditor at work, and he's apparently being very casual, you know. He's talking to Mrs. Gottrocks. Being very casual, apparently, very friendly, very easy, and Mrs., you say, well, anybody could do that. Any fool can audit like that. And you sit down and you start to do something like this, and somehow another session doesn't occur. And this becomes a total mystery. What the hell went on here? What went on? Now, this expert sat down, he talked to this woman, and the next thing you know, he had her running through an engram. It all came out. It only took him 10, 12, 15 hours, and he got all the way through. I was apparently all right, and she just ran, you know. I mean, there was nothing to it. So, guy says, well, that's easy. All you had to do is crack a buck, find the right words, start in. You sit down, and you say a similar type of case to Mrs. Gottrocks, and you say, well, let's start at the beginning of the engram necessary to resolve the case. And let's run right on through. And he keeps this up for about 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. And Mrs. Gutrocks, she isn't there anymore, that's all. She got up and left and put on her hat and coat. And when she turned around, she slapped him soundly on the jaw. He says, "What happened?" Well, he didn't have the case under control. He didn't have a session underway. He didn't have a PC that would talk to him. He didn't have the PC interested in her own case. He didn't expertly have the engram necessary to resolve the case. His own self-discipline was such that he was, every time he'd say something to her, why, something would go clank in his own bank. You know? And it looked so easy. He says, "This is not possible. What the dickens is going on here?" I'll tell you what's going on. He's got a long, long, long way to go. That's what's going on. And it starts with becoming expert at tone 40. And then expert at formal. And it requires that he know perfectly how to use those tone 40 and these formal clearing processes. He knows how to handle them. He goes ahead and handles them well. And he finally, by experience and so forth, moves out of the zone of worrying about himself. He moves out of the zone of self-consciousness. He moves out of it into a zone where he is confronting and can confront a case. If he can do that in 2 years, he's a whiz-bang. He's really good if he can do that in 2 years. All right, now one day somebody says to him, "Audit that case. Audit that person. Audit that bank. Take up that case." Now, here, tone 40, he was processing all the psychos in the world, and all cases were all cases, and didn't have to pay any attention to a case. There was nothing to that at all, you know. Not even a person in front of him, sort of an empty chair, you know. We narrowed down that attention to admit that there's a person there. Now, what the person does or says, well, that's keep him grooved, you know. It's all right, keep him grooved. But, there doesn't have to be anybody there, and he doesn't have any peculiar ideas different from other people's. Okay, and we audit that one. We can audit a person named Gutrocks or something, you see. We can audit this person, Gutrocks. But as Gutrocks, not as all Gutrocks cases, but not any peculiarities, nothing odd. It's all got to be routine. No odd, peculiar phenomena must come up. And if they do, you just give them, "Oh, yes, I understand that. Handle a PC origin TR4, you know? Yes, I understand that." And gives the next auditing command, bark. And you can do this by certain rules and so on. And then somebody comes up and says, "Audit Mrs. Gutrocks' most peculiar peculiarities. Audit that case. Audit only that case. Take up only that case in this unit of time and solve it across the boards in a few hours. Now get going." And he says, "No." This is not possible. I'm still sitting here worrying about my TR2. Well, he'd better get some more wins on HPA, HCA, BSCN, HCS levels of auditing, those two grades. He just better get some more practice. And he had better not run anything more than the HPA level of skills. Because he will get someplace, and we're interested in him getting someplace, not in necessarily doing it fast or wonderfully. You understand? We're interested in giving him wins. We're interested in having something happen. And when the time comes that he can handle that utterly and completely, when the time comes that he can do that, address of Mrs. Gutrocks as Mrs. Gutrocks and the peculiarities of Mrs. Gutrocks and do it positively, he is of DSCN caliber. Therefore, the running of individual engrams successfully belongs in the highest grade of Scientology training, not the lowest grade of Dianetic auditing. It is a high skill. If you can learn it, you got it made. If you can't learn it, you can still clear people. It take you a bit longer, but you can still clear people. Fall back until your own reality comes up to your HPA, HCA, BSCN level of action. You don't have to lose. Anytime a case becomes too much for you in the running of an engram, you always have formal auditing. You can get away with it. It's easier to do. And someday, as your confidence comes up the line, you will be able to handle straight, immediate, direct address engram running without flubs, because if you flub engram running, you've had it. You understand? So it isn't all hopeless after all, is it? Thank you.